Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Luna's Cafe. Thanks for coming out. Give yourselves a hand for coming out to comedy on a Wednesday night and not killing yourself after the debate and just to be here. Or the Dodgers game. Or the Cubs game. It's a Cubs game, not a Dodgers game. All right, here we go.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience.
What's you guys?
In a show called Stab.
Oh my goodness. Here we are, back at Luna's Cafe. Thank you guys for coming. We've taken a long break. You guys just went through five best ups, and now another live show for you guys. Are you ready to meet your contestants? Is that a thing? Okay. Well, please welcome to the stage first, Mr. Nick Bruner. Nick Bruner. He's gonna... Capital Public Radio's Nick Bruner. All right. Also, we have a first-timer tonight. She used to live in Chico, but now she's right down the street, so it wasn't that big of a sacrifice for her to get here. Please welcome to the stage. Becky Lynn! Becky Lynn! And last but not least, Jesse Jones. Jesse Jones. He's a good person. Inside. And out. Hello, everybody. Welcome to... Thanks for coming here. While I adjust this thing on my computer like a professional. So, Nick.
Hi, John.
What are you up to these days?
These days, I am, living it, the dream.
Living
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Showing up on Stab.
Yes.
Being on public radio.
Yep, that's right.
It's tremendous.
Yeah, NPR, public radio, Nick, yeah. Nick Bruner.
Let's all calm down, shall we? Yeah. This is like, no, I look, yeah, Garrison Keillor, he's great. We're all excited.
Yes. I notice you're holding your wine the same way you did last time you were here.
Yeah.
I don't want to point it out.
I don't want to disappoint the people. Look, again, for anybody who wasn't here 5 months ago,
right.
This is the optimal way to hold your glass of wine so you don't warm it with your body heat.
Right.
Holding it by the base.
By the base.
It makes it more delicious.
I mean, you could hold it by the base. Okay, never mind. I thought they were laughing at a dick joke for a second, but...
Oh, really?
You could hold it by the stem, though, and I feel like the convection current of heat wouldn't make your fucking...
I'm a very superstitious man. Okay. I don't do that.
Well, thank you for being here, Nick. Nick also does a new podcast called Hey Listen.
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
so
hello.
Listen to that. Hey, listen
hey,
to that.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah.
So punctuation
Nick,
in it.
Nick, before I let you go, please give me a two-word answer for what you think the function of boxer briefs really are.
Personality amplifier.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Big time.
Well, thank you, Nick. Thank you and your wine. Becky Lynn!
Hey.
Don't look so excited! I'm kidding. Becky Lynn, what do you do?
I live...
All right.
I exist.
That's good.
On a regular basis.
Good. You're new to Sacramento?
I'm new to Sacramento. Yeah, just moved out here.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
It's an exhilarating experience.
Is it better?
Sure.
Okay, good. It's good. I'm glad I got better. Becky, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Nick Bruner. In two words, give me the answer of what you think the function of boxer briefs really are.
Wet dream catcher.
What dream catcher?
Yeah.
That is true. Thank you very much, Becky. Nice
You're
to
welcome.
Meet you. All right, Jesse.
Hey.
Jesse's on every show.
It's true.
Hello, Jesse.
Hi there.
This is our, it's...
Oh. You don't know that.
I believe this is our 90... This will be our 96th podcast episode.
95th.
95th. This is our 95th episode, yeah. But we've really done like 120 that we lost.
Something, yeah. And well, we didn't lose 120. That would be sad.
I got divorced. She kept a bunch of them. That's what happened. So
nothing to do with that.
Jesse, how are you?
Not bad.
All right.
I mean, after figuring out parking. We haven't been to Luna's in a while. We have Things not. Have changed.
Yeah, they got an arena down here now. They think they're fucking king and queen. That's what's going on down here.
They got an arena like 15 blocks away. Why do we have to be punished?
I don't understand it.
Local political statement. Pandering to the audience.
Jesse, same question. What's in two words, what do you think boxer briefs are for?
I found that they're for scrotal strangulation.
Okay, well, good. Let's play stab. I want to push that again. There we go.
That's wasteful.
All right. This first segment is called something. It's called This Was Today Once. Nick Bruner. On this date, 1960, Cold War. The United States government imposes a near total trade embargo against Cuba, which was lifted last year, 2015. Also on this date, American actor John Lithgow was born. How did you celebrate? Go ahead, clap for John Lithgow. There you go. How did you celebrate the birth of John Lithgow and Cuba's trade embargo combined?
Well, the way I do every year, John.
Yep.
Every year. Really, what I do is what all manically self-obsessed media personalities do, and that is to write slash fiction history novels with clickbait titles.
Oh.
This year, I'm pleased to announce the release of Killing Castro. And what I do is I get drunk on rum, and I wait. Screenplay adaptation in hand. And I wait outside John Lithgow's house in a bush until he comes out. And what I do after that, when he's near, I shout, "Happy birthday, Harry and the Hendersons!" And then I just like straight wing it at him. Now, this isn't the most like effective approach to casting, but it's mine. I tried the same thing last year with Killing Gaddafi, and I caught poor Dame Judi Dench like right in the face.
Very good. Very good, Nick. Thank you for that. Nice. Becky Lynn. On this date, 1952, English accountant and politician Peter Bone was born. That's it. Also on this date, 1914, the U.S. Post Office first used an automobile to collect and deliver mail. How did you celebrate these events in tandem?
Well, John, I am so glad you asked. I woke up very early and headed down to the local post office with 21 of my closest friends to hijack some mail trucks for a riveting game of mail truck cricket.
Sounds fun.
Which is a new version of traditional cricket reimagined to include, you guessed it, mail trucks. After all that action, we broke for tea and then headed down to a local church for one of Peter Bone's favorite things, a constituency surgery, which much to my dismay, was only a political meeting and not a public viewing of a medical procedure being performed on a local political figure.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. Good job, Becky. Wasn't sure if you were done. I'm sorry. Seemed abrasive. Seemed abrasive.
I hate Peter Bone.
Just kidding. So, Jesse Jones, yeah. It's your turn.
Oh.
On this date, 1872, long time ago, the world's largest gold nugget was found in New South Wales. Also on this date, 1980, Steve Mapeek rides a 101-foot, 9-inch unicycle. How did you celebrate these two things in tandem?
Oh, John. You have found my one weakness. Incredibly, ridiculously oversized stuff and things. Ever since I was a boy, I've been in love with big versions of things that normally aren't that big in for real life. I have a thimble as big as a trash can. I found it on eBay. And after I stopped flapping my hands and hyperventilating, I bought it immediately. And you know what? The shipping cost more than the thimble itself, and I don't even care! Sometimes I take baths in it and pretend I'm one of the littles. And just today, I actually got called in to interview for my dream job. Tour guide at my favorite place in the world, the Henry S. Chapman Museum of Comically Oversized Novelty Things. I know, right? Now, a big part of the interview is a mock tour. So for my interview, I chose the 5 foot tall, 9 foot long, high top Converse Chuck Taylor All-Stars left shoe that's been in possession of the Chapman since fall 1991. Here's a little sample of my mock tour. Look at that shoe! That's crazy! Look at how big it is! What size would that even be? Get in it. Climb on in it. No, it's okay. You can climb in. Even if it wasn't okay, I mean, could anybody stop you? I couldn't. Look at you. You're standing in a shoe. How crazy is that? I mean, technically, you're always standing in a shoe, but not... but not like that way. Not like you are now. You're standing in a shoe. That's crazy. Want me to take your picture? Want me to take your picture in that shoe? Want me to take a picture of you and your whole family all huddled together in a giant shoe? Sure, I'll take your picture. Do you want it this way or that way? Do you want it this way or that way? Long ways or tall ways? Probably tall ways, huh? Because look at that shoe! Okay, I'll take it. Oh, it turned off. Do you want to tell me your code or pattern? Here, you do it. I don't like telling people my passwords either. That's personal and private. None of your business, right? Okay, there you are. Okay, all right. So what do we decide on, this way or that way? Is everybody in the shoe? Are we all in there? This way or... I'm sorry. Oh, it's this way. Right, sure. Okay. Oh, it turned off again. Sorry. I unlocked my phone by circling all my cat's little whiskers. Isn't it fun what phones can do nowadays?
Page two. Please.
Needless to say, I start Monday.
Very good. That was, this was, Today Once. Very good, very good, very good, very good, very good, very good. This next segment we like to call reorganization. Reorganization. Please have taken this existing acronym and reimagine it. What does it now stand for? Who or what does it now represent? In honor of all the sexy costumes we'll be seeing on Halloween, today's acronym is THOT. 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 What does THOT mean to you, Nick Brenner?
Could I get that in a sentence?
Look at that thought.
Can I get a definition?
No.
Okay, so THOT, this is what it means to me. Vath harathment, O.J. Simpson. Okay. Which is a guy who speaks with a lisp and writes phonetically.
Okay. Very good, Nick. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Becky Lynn, what does thought mean to you?
Oh, thought? THOT?
Yes.
Try harder on things. The new mantra for the everyday underachiever. Unhappy with your current position at work? Thought. Can't get your girlfriend off? Thought. Did you spend too much time napping and binge watching Shameless on Netflix that you didn't give your stab prompts the time they deserved? Thought.
Very good, Becky Lynn. Thought. Jesse Jones, THOT.
Well, United Help Givers begin again anew. Helping Tree International and the Society of Uplifters of America have formed a partnership with the Kindness Warriors, the Care Heart Foundation, Hand in Hand in Hand, and the Positive Impact Alliance to form the not-for-profit charitable organization, THOT, or Together Helping Others, Together.
Oh,
thought is dedicated to the ideal that together, through togetherness, they can better help each other help others together. In association with the victory winners, Perseverance Taking Flight, the Love Laser Foundation, and the Mothers of Never Not Helping. The member associations of thought come together with the shared belief that the common goal of all parties can be better achieved through the togetherness of their respective goal-minded, action-oriented programs. And as such, in cooperation with the doctors of Yes Today, the International Dream Achievers, Skyward Facing, and the Celebration Collective, thought works tirelessly to ensure that those in need receive the need that they need through coordinated coordination of need-fulfilling fulfillment programs. And that once fulfilled, these needs never need to be fulfilled again. And that together, we can help others together.
Very good. That was reorganization. That brings us to our third category of the evening, called Please Explain. This is the first time we've ever done this. This is a new segment, so you're welcome. I'm sure it's a fan favorite already. It's called Please Explain. Please explain the following things while pretending I am the following thing, Nick Bruner. Please explain trick-or-treating to me. I am a 6-year-old child who lives in a shanty town.
Oh boy, okay, this is gonna be a toughie. Let's explain this by comparison.
Oh man.
You know how sometimes it can be scary outside? Well, one night a year, some people who don't live in as scary an area go out of their way to make their nice house super creepy and gross and scary. And then other people send kids that look just like you to that same area without their parents. You know how it's hard to get food that has vitamins that make you feel good when you eat them? Well, one night a year, kids go out of their way to get what nutritionally amounts to a pile of wood and also gives you diabetes for free. You know how you have to struggle to get everything and life hasn't cut you a break through no fault of your own and you're not even a preteen? Well, these kids who've been handed everything and don't understand how fortunate they are will totally bitch when someone gives them an apple. For free. And you know how sometimes people you've known for years make you sad on purpose? Well, that's how I feel right now explaining this premise to a group of people who are very real. Thanks, John.
Thank you for explaining. I understand now. What's an apple? Okay. Becky Lynn, this is going to get better, folks. This is going to get less dark. Becky Lynn, please thoroughly explain spontaneous human combustion to me. I'm your class of 26 inquisitive forensic science majors. Please explain human combustion to me, a class of 26 inquisitive
this forensic science. This prompt is fucking garbage.
Very good.
All right, class, welcome this evening. Spontaneous human combustion, or SHC, yeah, there it is, for short, occurs if and only if a person simultaneously consumes Diet Coke and Mentos.
All right.
It is not well known that this is the only cause of SHC, as Coca-Cola paid an immense amount of money
to keep the public from learning the truth. In fact, they even paid Mythbusters to dispel the rumor of their product. Mentos never attempted to disassociate themselves from any involvement in inducing SHC because they hoped the scandal would help their perpetually plummeting sales. Coca-Cola is the devil. Please enroll in my new class next semester, Practical Strategies for the Everyday Conspiracy Theorist.
Very good. Very good, Becky Lynn. Let me just close Facebook really quick.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Go ahead and do that.
But why?
Yeah, right? Jesse Jones,
yeah.
Please explain birth control to me. I am a 38-year-old father of three who is a comedian and the host of a game show called Stab.
Yeah. John.
Yep.
I'm assuming your name is John. Have you ever dreamed of something?
Sure.
Something bigger. Something bigger than telling jokes to smoothie machines on a Wednesday night. It's these dreams that give us the ability to achieve anything we set our little hearts to. Do you know what babies do, John? Mm-hmm. Babies eat dreams. Babies eat dreams and shit responsibility. Babies are how the universe prevents the entire world from being populated by nothing but happy, fulfilled, creative individuals. Endlessly fucking atop piles of published manuscripts, produced screenplays, and enormous checks left uncashed. Because you've been too busy doing whatever the fuck you want, whenever the fuck you want, with whomever the fuck you want. Entirely unanswerable to anyone but your adoring public. So what then is the best contraceptive option, John? Sure, there are many to choose from. But I find the best, most reliable form of birth control are dreams. If the idea of achieving anything more than squirting another child into someone else no longer exists within you, then please, by all means, let fly your potent seed. But if you still have any longing for something more inside that hollowed out husk of a man hunched before us, just remember that from the tip of your dick shoots your dreams. And there's a baby out there just waiting to eat them.
What?
And when I put it that way, that doesn't really sound good, but I think you know what I mean.
There you go. All right, that was Please Explain It To Me. Well, fuck, I think we'll keep that one. Okay. Very good. This next segment is also another new segment. We decided to just fucking reinvent the show, all in one show. This next segment is called Versus v. Versus. Please tell me who would win in a fight between the following and why. Nick Bruner, who would win in a fight and why between public radio listeners and juggalos?
I'm glad you asked, John. Public radio listeners, hands down, here's why. I have a whole like list that I'm going to go down. I'm probably going to skip a few bullet points, but it's because I'm passionate about the subject. So,
sure.
Forgive me. First of all, have you seen a public radio listener when they go to Starbucks and they order a latte and the foam is fucked up?
They go ape shit.
I do not want to be on the business end of a public radio listener who has done that. Juggalos, on the other hand, let's talk about this. Juggalos, they appreciate hip-hop in air quotes in some form. Right?
You'd be able to air quote if you weren't holding the wine like that. I just want to...
I'm not. Look.
Go ahead.
Insane Clown Posse, where the Juggalo fad was, you know, originally, you know, established, based around a hip-hop group. I don't like them. I think their particular version of hip-hop is terrible. But, oh my God, you play good hip-hop in front of a public radio listener, and they start frothing at the mouth like their froth was the shitty latte that got fucked up in the example I just mentioned a second ago. They have absolutely zero tolerance for it at all. Juggalos dressed like clowns. Clowns, traditionally, are there to make you laugh, right? Right? Clowns, right. Funny. They're terrifying, but they're also kind of funny. Public radio listeners don't like to laugh at anything, which is evidenced by the many years of listening to Garrison Keillor that they had, thinking, justifying to themselves that they're funny. Juggalos are all about community and family as they define it. They go out of their way to create a code. They welcome others into their fold. Have you seen what happens when a public radio donor doesn't get their Car Talk mug when they say they're going to? I've been there, man. It's my Vietnam. It fucking sucks. I got nothing to do with your membership to Capital Public Radio, and yet at the same time, I've got the slings, the arrows. Juggalos have a tendency to come out of shanty towns, shall we say. Public radio listeners have a tendency to dress up their yards like the previous examples where kids go to watch their... It's bad fucking news. Public radio listeners, all the way. They'll cut you, man. They'll cut you.
Very good. Very good, Nick Bruner. I liked on that last, they'll cut you. You pointed with the wine glass and a pinky. So they will cut you.
It's the sharpest finger on the hand.
Very good. Like, am I bleeding or did Nick spill wine on me? That's good. Becky Lynn versus V versus. Who would win in this fight and why? A sheep shearer versus a competitive eating champion.
Okay, so I gave this very little preparation because I need some more clarification here. When you say sheep shearer, do you mean the traditional sheep shearer in the sense that they just use the like scissor type sheep shears? Or do you mean a sheep shearer that uses an electronic razor to shear their sheep?
I want to make it harder on you because and take away the sharp stuff. So I'm going to say just the electronic shears versus a competitive eating champion.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for answering that first question. Second question. What type of fight is it exactly that we're talking about here?
I mean, I don't want to defend this category.
Is it like a boxing match or is it like a street fight?
I'm going to say in the octagon, it's an MMA.
Oh. MMA. Okay, well then definitely a sheep shearer, I would think.
Okay, definitely.
I've sheared a few sheep in my day.
Okay.
I was in FFA in high school, okay. Not to brag.
Oh, shit.
I was a chapter farmer.
Were you really?
Yeah, I really
What'd
was.
You raise?
A garden.
Oh,
my parents.
We didn't look too fondly upon yeah. you guys. Anyways. Right. No, I would have to say that the sheep shearer would win. Solely because they learn very quickly what it's like to handle a body that's fighting against them.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with sheep shearer.
Sheep shearer.
Yeah.
Hands down, sheep shearer.
Thank you.
Very good. Very
Final
good,
answer.
Becky. There we go. Thank you, Becky Lynn. Jesse Jones versus V versus. Who would win in a fight between these three things? A rock versus paper versus scissors. Yeah.
You think you understand. Well, see, it's widely accepted that no matter how you pit them, rock will undoubtedly defeat scissors, either through bending or dulling. Rock is clearly superior to scissors. Equally accepted is that the wood pulp paper is clearly no match for the cutting action of scissors. It was the need for something to defeat the menace of paper that the scissors were invented in the first place. What has been harder for the general public to accept is paper's mastery over rock. The simplified explanation is that paper simply covers rock, which seems insufficient to claim outright victory. As covering the rock with paper does not defeat the rock in any measurable way. And on the contrary, only makes paper more susceptible to being blown away, as it's loosely draped over the rock would certainly allow airflow underneath it, which would likely dislodge the paper easily. So then, how does paper actually defeat rock? What has been lost to history is the treachery of paper. Clearly, paper couldn't defeat rock on its own. So it enlisted the aid of pen and ink. With this dark alliance formed, paper composed upon itself a work order for the local quarry. Requesting the immediate removal and destruction of rock. Laying itself over rock, paper revealed its plot and presented an ultimatum. Admit your defeat now. Yield to me or I will be mailed to the proper authorities. And what could simply be a temporary wound to your ego will become your permanent physical destruction. And while Rock considered simply pinning paper down, using his brute force as a natural paperweight to win the day, he knew that eventually someone would uncover paper's plot written plainly on his face and would deliver paper into the appropriate hands regardless. So reluctantly, Rock acquiesced, and this uneasy lie has been agreed upon ever since. But it's just fast to say paper covers rock.
Very good. That was Versus v. Versus, which brings us to our final segment of this first show, the Topical Haiku Challenge. Please have written three haiku each in regards to the following topical haiku. Topical, topic. Last week, 24 people were killed in a stampede during a Hindu ceremony in India. 24 people killed. Let's hear about a haiku from it. We'll do one each and then cycle through. Nick Bruner, what's your first haiku?
Glad you asked, John. This first one is called Jesus Christ, John. Jesus Christ, John Ross. I know it's stab, but fuck, man. Why not cats for once?
Amen. Why not? Okay, very good. Becky Lynn, your first of three haiku.
I'd just like to note that all of my haiku were written from the perspective of a teenage girl that didn't want to be there.
Okay.
Where is Barjinder? This wasn't worth the henna. Is it Black Friday?
Very good.
My first is titled Stereotypes Hurt. That's what you get when your country's mounted police all ride elephants.
I don't know whether to be offended or not, or I don't know if that was...
Probably.
Maybe. It's jingoistic. Yeah.
Well, if we're big enough in India, then we can hear some complaints.
Okay, all right, very good. Nick Bruner, okay. Your second of three haiku.
For haiku number two, I've titled it, Am I Right? Weddings, hard enough, without constant threat of death. Sadly, apropos.
Very good. Becky Lynn, number two.
Oh no, Barjinder? He looks like he might be dead. Yep, he's totes dead.
For Barjinder.
Second is titled, How May I Direct Your Call for Mercy? With millions of gods, it's hard to remember who to pray to when crushed.
Oh, I really didn't want it to go this way. I know I look like I would want it to go this way, but I... let's end this fucking show with your third haiku.
Okay.
Nick Bruner.
For my third, this one's called But Nonetheless Necessary. I didn't attend. Is a gift still required? Rules are weird, you guys.
Very good, Nick Bruner. Very good. Becky Lynn, your third of three haiku.
Why did we come here? This event is televised. We could be eating.
Very good, Becky. And Jesse Jones, in this first episode of Stab, don't go anywhere. There is another. Jesse Jones.
My third is titled 24 New Birds or something. When your religion includes reincarnation, tramplings aren't so bad.
Very good. That was Topical Haiku Challenge. And that's the end of this episode of Stab. One more time for Nick Bruner, Becky Lynn, and Jesse Jones. We'll be back in 5 minutes for the next show, where we have three other comics. If you get your cell phones out right now, you could subscribe to us on iTunes. Do that if you want. And you can listen to all 96 of our previous episodes. We're also on SoundCloud, Stitcher. We have some YouTube stuff where you can watch the show. So we'll be right back. Or go to our website, not yet, but stab4gold.com, stab4gold.com. Thank you. We'll be right back.